It's 5 a.m. Atlanta. Time to get your day started with John and Hugh.
Hugh Douglas.
Good googly moogly.
A three-time pro bowler and John Fricke.
You got serious butthurt.
A man who's watched the Pro Bowl at least three times.
Boom shakalaka.
John, a man who covered the Atlanta Chiefs inaugural season.
And Hugh, who just keeps it real.
I'm good. I got pants on.
Let's get your day started, Atlanta. This is John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is a Wednesday, May the 27th, and welcome to the morning show with John and Hugh from the Mobile Kia Studios all over Metro Atlanta. Of course, streaming worldwide at radio.com. The free app, have you heard us talk about the free app at the radio? I know you have, about 800 million times. But nonetheless, it is a morning, and again, I got to start the show every day, as I do, Hugh Douglas, by saying today is Wednesday, May 27th. I have to remind myself of the day of the date every day, or otherwise, I'm going to forget.
Winning this day. Good morning, Atlanta. Good morning, everybody. I hope everybody has a wonderful day. Wake up. It's time to get up. It's hump day. Let's get going.
Hump day to what?
Yeah, hump day, yeah. I feel you, John. I've been having that issue the last couple of days. Just, you know, waking up and be like, I'm not doing anything today. I'm just going to relax and hang out. But, yeah, got to get into some kind of routine. Got to stay in some kind of routine.
I know. I'm with you. I just got a hump day to what here. Hugh, I got to tell you, I hit a wall yesterday.
Is that right? What happened?
Well, I can understand. Look, I understand what, you know, you must be going through. I know that Abe moved, which is good for him, and what Oren must be going through, you know, all alone, and you're kind of, you know, stuck in your place, and, you know, Tanitra's stuck in hers, and we're all kind of stuck, and I know that I have a luxury that some people don't have, which is that I have a house, so I can at least get outside, though it's, you know, a lot of work, but still, nonetheless, I can at least get outside. And a lot of young, you know, the real estate guy in me sees a lot of young people, young couples who are in condos, who are, you know, reaching out, and I'm trying to help them the best I can, which I think I do a pretty good job of that, to go to a single family home because they don't want to be stuck in condos anymore if this kind of comes back. So, but at the same time, cabin fever can happen at home. And, I think I kind of reached cabin fever yesterday. There's some things I'm kind of done with, and I just kind of, you know, well, I'm done with these cats. I love them, but 24/7 with these guys is driving me nuts. You know, it's like, I need to get away from my, cause you know, I do the show and they're jumping on the table. And during the McGarity interview yesterday, Hugh, I had two cats fighting on the table. I'm like trying to shoo them off. And here I am trying to interview the athletic director at the University of Georgia. One of them's, you know, trying to, you know, jump all the way to the top of the blinds. And I'm like, get out of here. Go away. I'm trying to work.
It just sounds like you got a lot going on, John. And the cats probably don't like you either. That's probably why they do what they do. You know, it's probably, you know.
Well, yeah, that would find, that would figure. They favor the other one.
They get up about the same time you do, knowing that you're going to do what you do. And they say, let's harass John this morning. Basically, that's what they're doing, right?
So well, they can't figure it out. I mean, I guess this is a, for them, this is a new normal. Of course, you know, I want to explain to them that at some point I will be vanishing into the garage for 8 hours a day. So, don't get used to this too much. I'm done with hot dogs.
You ate too many hot dogs?
Yeah, way too many hot dogs. Yeah, just I don't know the next time I will eat a hot dog. Way too many hot dogs.
Yeah, I haven't eaten too many of those lately. My thing is, I'm tired of eating, like, bread. Like, I don't eat that much bread, but like lately I have, and it's just like, you know, eating bread, it just makes me feel full. Like, cause I don't really eat that much bread. That's been my issue the last couple weeks. So I'm about to leave that alone. But it's so easy to do, you know, when you're sitting at home and you're just eating bread. So I got to leave that alone. Definitely got to leave that alone. Just get out and walk around the neighborhood a little bit. Maybe you could break up the monotony like that.
Well, yeah, I could if I could get out of the house. But right now I'm in the middle of a, you know, massive interior project stripping the wallpaper, you know, as soon as we get off the show for 5 hours every day. So, I mean, part of the issue is that I've got major projects going on, you know, at home. And not that that's a bad thing, but... So I do the show, and we have our little meeting, and then I get something to eat, and right about 11 o'clock, you know, the Maven's ready to launch in. Okay, let's work till about 4, and, you know, and that's what we do, because we got to get this done. But it's, you know, okay, I'm in the house, and then four comes, and then you take a shower, and the next thing you know, you're having dinner and sitting down in the chair, and okay, I haven't done it.
Day gone, just like that, yeah, it works like that sometimes.
And yesterday was one day I did get up a little bit, just because I had to, but yeah, it's like, okay, I can understand some people who are, you know, look, far be it for us. Look, we still have our jobs, and we're, you know, here every morning with you, and I understand that there's so many people that are out of work. I mean, we could see the tension that's, you know, starting to build in the country. I mean, we could see this all over the place with some of the things that are going on. And I think some of this is due to, well, idiots, and some of it's due to, you know, I think the pandemic, because it's been almost 3 months. And in these 3 months, people get just worn out, you know, I mean, and, you know, so, I mean, far be it, again, my issues are small, but I'm beginning to, you know, have a little bit of empathy for people who feel like, I got to get out and do something, you know, and maybe just, you know, I've been so cautious like you have, and I want to remain cautious, but at the same time, I'm also starting to get antsy, you know, I kind of want life to happen again, you know, I don't want to be locked down.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I definitely hear where you're coming from, John. As far as you know, it's being people being antsy. I don't know about that. I think that a lot of this is starting to come to the forefront because I guess people are just showing their true colors. As far as certain things are concerned, I think people are just, you know, doing. People are starting to see it more because people are starting to videotape stuff a lot more. You know, and I think that's the biggest difference. And it's happening so much now that, you know, even if you didn't know what was going on, you got to look at it and kind of say, like, wait a minute, this is too much of a coincidence. I think a lot of that is going on. That's what it kind of looks like to me. But as far as, you know, people being frustrated and stuff, maybe that has a little bit something to do with it. But that some of this stuff's been going on for a long time, and it's the biggest difference now is just being videotaped.
Well, and I'll give you, you know, one example. The Lake of the Ozarks down in Missouri, right? And they have this thing where they had this gigantic party down at the Lake of the Ozarks in a pool. Did you see this video, Hugh? With the
I think I did.
It looked like 1,000 people.
Yeah, they were out there chilling. God right. bless them.
God bless them is right. You know, I mean, Petri dish. You know, and now my reaction was, my first reaction, because this is kind of the reaction that I've developed here, is what in the world are you people doing? I mean, do you not, you know, it's like, we've seen some of these before. There was a long time ago at the beginning of this, there was that beach party down in Florida. Do you remember that right at the beginning where all those kids, the spring breakers?
You're talking about Jacksonville? No, yeah. In the Panhandle. Was it the Panhandle? I think I know what you're talking about when they were talking about, hey, you know, living my life or whatever.
Right, yeah, living my best life. Yeah,
Daytona.
Yeah, and we've seen other things where there were parties in people's houses and things of that nature. Now we have this Land of the Ozarks thing, and I kind of go, well, you know, then I step back a little bit and I say, look, I don't really love these things. I mean, I used to like it when I was younger. I mean, big parties like that. But, I mean, it would be – I can understand how people would want to have some fun. I think it's – Hugh, I kind of looking at my wife, and I said last night after we were sitting down after dinner, I said, you know, I know that we're talking about vacation possibly here in the next couple of months. You know, I need to see my folks. It's been a year. And so I've got to see my folks. Mm-hmm. And so we got to go do that. But I said, I also think I need a little bit of fun, you know, something fun to do. I mean, because, and then, you know, I guess that's up to me to kind of make that fun, to break the monotony a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but I think there's a way to do that. And listen, I would like to think that in my younger years, especially with something like this going on, I never had to deal with anything like this. So this is new for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to think that in my younger days, that I would still have common sense enough. I would like to think this. I don't know, because I don't know. I would like to think I'd have common sense enough not to put myself in harm's way, mm-hmm. you know, knowing and adjust to what's going on in the world and at least be mindful of potentially getting someone in my family sick, some of my loved ones sick because they're older. I think I would want to be a little bit mindful of that, you know, and then the simple fact that, hell, I might die. You know, I might contract this disease and I might die. I would like to think that I would make good decisions as a younger person. It just feels to me, and again, not judging anybody, but it just feels to me like a lot of people do feel like, you know, this is all, you know, fake, and you know, this is something that, you know, what they call it, a plandemic or something like that. I can't feel that way because this has touched me personally, you know, and I know people that have had it. Hell, my daughter had it. My daughter had coronavirus, was worried to death about it. And a friend of mine's brother died from the coronavirus. So, you know, for me, it hits a little bit different because they hit a little bit closer. So, you know, I would like to think that I would be a little bit more, you know, mindful, you know, as far as the way that I dealt with it.
Well, if I were a single man back in my 20s, it might have depended upon how hot she was. Just saying, you know?
You know what's funny? And you know what's funny? Like, that's a big concern, too, because a lot of, like, you know, being quarantined by yourself, people have those decisions they have to make. And you know, being lonely is a real thing for a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they take chances when they go hang out with somebody. You know, you just never know. You just never know.
Well, I empathize with all you people out there. I'm not trying to be a downer. I'm trying to, you know, be positive here because I think we got a lot of good news. Well, you know, I'm not really sure if we got good news in sports or not. I can't figure out the landscape right now. There's some, you know, the NFL and its players, baseball and its players, you know.
baseball. You know, I mean, no, Liz, it's funny because when Orrin sent that tweet out yesterday talking about the planned pay cut that baseball players are going to have to take, listen, I'm all for the people, and I'm all, you know, and I'm not for the owners. But when I saw that pay cut, I was like, oh yeah, they ain't gonna take that. That's not gonna happen. I'm like, listen. And I understand the gripe of people in saying, well, you know, these, I'm not feeling sorry for them. I get that, but bruh, I don't know anybody in their right mind. I don't know anybody on this planet that would take that kind of haircut and be cool with it. And just say, hey, you know what? It's for the greater good. And in that proposal that I saw, John, I didn't see anything in there about recouping that money. That's money gone. Like, that's money gone. That's a lot of money. So I was thinking to myself, yeah, we might not have baseball this year. That might be the case.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it was a huge, gigantic pay cut for these players below prorated and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, yeah, it's a hard sell for the players, in my opinion, Hugh, to sell the public. A lot of us have had to take pay cuts. I mean, and suddenly you don't want to take a pay cut, you know, down to $8 million. That's kind of hard thing
to
swallow.
Yeah, John, but if you're making $27 million, if you make it $27 million and you're taking a $10 million haircut, John, you're like, I don't know. I would have to do some serious soul searching for that. But listen, like I said, I'm a man of the people. But boy, that's a hell of a haircut. That's a hell of a haircut.
Yeah, I know. But again, when you're, you know, it's interesting what the reaction will be. You know, I'm out of work. I mean, and you know, so I mean, so we'll see. You know, I don't know. It'll be interesting. Like, and it's just the first volley, by the way. In this, you know, the players will certainly react to it and just counter propose and see what the owners say. Maybe they can come to an agreement. If you missed our discussion yesterday with Greg McGarity, the athletic director at the University of Georgia, we're going to replay that. Kind of interesting stuff if you're a college football fan, a college sports fan, not just a Georgia fan, because this was, while it was about Georgia, it was about larger college football and what we can possibly expect to see here, because, you know, Georgia does play Alabama in week 3. Are we going to see the Dogs in Tuscaloosa, and are there going to be any fans there if we do? So it's an interesting few minutes that we think that if you missed it, we'd like you to hear again, and we'll do that. Reminding you, of course, that you can listen to us at radio.com anywhere at any time. Get the free app, radio.com, in the App Store on any smart device, your Surface, your iPhone, your smart TV, whatever it is. That is radio.com/stayconnected for more information. All right, our conversation with UGA AD Greg McGarity around the corner with John and Hugh on the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Mobile Kia Studios. Well, Hugh Douglas, we'll get to Greg McGarity in just a second here. I was thinking about, you know, with college football and all the discussion about college football. This is the biggest season yet for college football at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. There are going to be half a dozen college football games, and they're all gigantic games, all of them. You have the three kickoff games, September the 5th, Florida State, West Virginia, September the 7th, Georgia and Virginia, and then September the 12th, North Carolina and Auburn. You also have Georgia Tech against Notre Dame. You have the Celebration Bowl, and, of course, you have the Peach Bowl. So, I mean, you have all these gigantic games that are going to happen at six of them at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which has become, you know, as a venue, not only is it a host to, you know, an NFL team and a Major League Soccer team and all these huge events, but has become literally the premier college football stadium in the nation. And so this is a huge year for the city. It's a huge year for Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So let's hope that it all goes like we hope it and plan it will.
Yeah. You talk about us losing the NCAA tournament, basketball tournament. So, yeah, definitely hope that it turns around. But I think it will. I'm pretty optimistic about the football season coming around.
Yeah, I'm getting more and more optimistic. I wasn't optimistic for a while, but I'm starting to get more and more optimistic. And what I'm trying to do is check myself a little bit. You know how I have a tendency to get over my skis when it comes to things like my excitement over a coming season for a local team or two, you know, my projections for what they may be able to accomplish in the year. And I get let down a lot, but I remain optimistic, and I don't want to be let down here because I just I so badly want this to happen. I haven't ever wanted a college football season worse than I want this one.
I mean, it's coming, John. I mean, I understand your angst and your excitement or your anxiety because it's so up in the air and it's so, you know, unknown to us what's going to happen. But I think it's going to be okay. I think it's going to be a little bit modified. I definitely think that. But I think it's coming.
With the SEC announcing that the players can return to fitness workouts, getting back into shape as of Monday, June the 8th. Other schools will start on June the 1st, but the SEC will open its doors to its weight room and its tracks and whatnot on June the 8th. We reached out to the athletic director at the University of Georgia, Greg McGarrity, and he and I had a chance to talk to him about this state of college football, and we began our conversation with the question about, you know, dealing with a time that you thought there might not be any fans in the stands.
You know, we dealt with this a little bit at the SEC basketball tournament back in March. So we knew a little bit about the planning there, but not to the scale of what we're discussing now.
Yeah, you experienced that. Actually, let's start there if we can, Greg. Can you take me back to the decision and what it was like for you when you're at the tournament and you had to make these kind of immediate calls? Everything was, you know, happening at such warp speed at that point. What was it like to have to, you know, sort of just take apart a whole tournament?
Well, luckily, all the athletic directors and the presidents were together. So we were able to make some decisions very quickly. And once the Gobert of the NBA came down with the virus, boy, that just brought everything to a halt. So you're going from a moment to where you had a game tipping off at 12, that at 10 o'clock that morning, the tournament was canceled. So we just went to a quick stop. And I think it was shocked everyone. But the more we learn, we made the right call because you can only imagine what that would have been like with a packed arena and Nashville, with the way the crowds were attending the tournament. It could have really been a bad scene there. But luckily the action was stopped, and so here we are 2.5 months later, still in the same boat.
Greg McGarrity, the athletic director of the University of Georgia, joining John and Hugh. So June 8th, the date that the SEC has now, you have voted to let the fall athletes return. Walk me through a little bit about what this means from your perspective about when these athletes do return and what they're going to be able to do.
Well, the date signifies the date you can basically unlock the weight room and start your voluntary workouts. So between now and that lead-up time, there's going to be a lot of measures taken in place with our student athletes. Ron Corson, who does a tremendous job for us, is handling all of the medical operations for that. So there's a battery of things you have to check off the list in preparation for these young people to be associating with everyone when social distancing and small group workouts and things along those lines and hygiene. So it's a totally different environment, and we got to remember these are all voluntary. So it's not like you've got any required workouts or things of that nature. So it's all totally voluntary during this time until preseason practice starts. So everybody just needs to remember these are all voluntary workouts.
Sports Radio 92.9 again. We're talking to athletic director UGA athletic director Greg McGarrity on the WaveFort.com hotline. So with all of that being said, have you seen like any like, I don't know if you noticed or not, but any drop off as far as like student enrollment so far with everything that's going on?
You know, it's a great freshman class enrollment here at the University of Georgia. Everybody's just anxious to get back in the new environment, but I think everybody's just tired of being at home, tired of being around the same people. So we're going to have to get back to the new normal with certainly a lot of protocols in place, and it's going to be a new way of life, especially during this bridge time to where we have to navigate from what we thought was normal to the new normal. You saw a lot of what went on during Memorial Day weekend, which wasn't really social distancing at its finest hour. But we know we only have one chance to get this right in college athletics. And football, we've got to get it right in June, because if we don't get it right in June, we have no chance of being ready in July. And July is really the most important month to where we can get back to, at some point in time, practice, not only for football, but our other sports, as fall sports, as they get ready for the season.
Greg McGarrity is the athletic director at UGA. Have you been in contact with the folks here in Atlanta about the Chick-fil-A? Because your first game is against Virginia on September the 7th at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and one of the Chick-fil-A games are three slated for them. Is that still all systems go at the moment?
Yes. I've talked to Gary. It's been a couple weeks since I spoke to Gary, and then Carla Williams at Virginia. So we stayed in contact, not over the last couple of weeks, because we know time is on our side. And the more we learn, the more we become more educated on everything. And at some point in time, there'll have to be a clear definition of what mass gatherings means. So we don't have to make that decision now, but at some point in time, we have to get the green light on what can the attendance figures be, how do you do all this. And so a lot of information that has to be gathered, but it's just May, and we don't have to make those decisions right now.
Greg McGarrity joining us. You're right, we have 3 months, which is plenty of time here to see what we're going to have going forward with college football. But what do you envision, Greg? I mean, how do you think this all plays out? Gene Smith at Ohio State University is saying, we're planning on 22,000 fans, doing some kind of a lottery or something based on that, and that's what we're thinking about for our opening game. Is that something you could see happening, actually having fans at the opener?
Well, we're not going to do what Ohio State did, because can you imagine the number of phone calls Gene got the next day? Am I in? Am I out? You know. So once we have clear information, we'll get that information out at one time when it's really the final decision. Because one thing we don't want to do is create angst and worry and concern about am I going to be in that group? You know, we're planning for a full house. Now, is that realistic? Time will tell. But at least we're planning that way, and we can always back off of that. But we've got several internal documents ready to activate. But certainly we don't want to go public with anything, especially in May. I mean, our first home game's in September.
Right.
So we don't want to rush through anything. At the same time, we want to be respectful to everyone. But we want to provide accurate information at one time, so there's no misinformation there.
Now, I know that the NFL has been discussing, you know, whether or not they're going to use a special kind of face mask. I don't know if you guys are in the process of looking into something like that as well. Has that been discussed?
Hugh, I can only imagine what's going through our coach's mind and our equipment staff's mind, okay? Mm-hmm. They probably have so many ideas coming up that I'm not even aware of, because I think, like, college sports follows the pro sports in so many things. And I think anytime you see technology that emerges, you know, it won't be too far behind colleges adopting whatever they do. So we're keeping a close eye on the NFL in all areas as far as stadium management, how they conduct preseason practice, how they conduct their games. So we are definitely paying close attention to the NFL.
Greg McGarrity, athletic director at University of Georgia with John and you. Well, Greg, tell me about – let's talk a little football. We got another minute or two. Tell me about what your expectations are for this team this year. Jamie Newman at quarterback. You got Zeus back there at running back. You've got a team that certainly knows how to win in what's going to be an extremely competitive SEC again. So what are your expectations?
Well, you don't know. You had no evaluation period in the spring. So, you know, new offensive coordinator – a new quarterback, virtually a whole new offensive line. so many unknowns. Defensively, I think there's more stability there, but a lot of unknown. Rodrigo's gone. You know, Rod seemed like he was here for 10 years and did a great job for us. And so there's just so many unknowns that I think is going to probably be the most intriguing preseason practice we've ever had, because there's just so many unknowns, and very rarely have we entered a season not knowing who our starting quarterback is, or a quarterback that hadn't taken a snap yet for Georgia.
Yeah, especially when your third game is on the road at Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, it's we jump in the fire quickly, and we know how Virginia ended their season, and so you know there's one game at a time, and we just want to get to that first game. I think if everybody knew the first game is going to kick off as scheduled, and with a great crowd, I think everybody can breathe a little bit better.
So, how do you feel about Georgia's chances this year? Looking good.
I think we're going undefeated every year in every sport, okay?
You're supposed to.
You're the AD.
Otherwise, and my coaches are going to look like I've got three eyes or something. So, you know, I'm very confident in all our 15 coaches that we have. And football certainly sets the tone in the fall, and we expect Kirby and his staff to be as competitive as they have in the past. And that's all we can ask at the University of Georgia, to be in the hunt. If you're in the hunt, you have a chance. And that's all we ask of all our coaches, be in the hunt.
Greg McGarrity, athletic director at the University of Georgia, just be in the hunt. How about that? Let's see that full house at Mercedes-Benz for that game against Virginia on September the 7th. That would be really sweet. And then Georgia Tech taking on Clemson that weekend. Oh, my gosh. That whole thing is going to be, Atlanta's going to be lit up with college football that first week in September. Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game, streaming worldwide at radio.com.
Now it's time for John to get super freaky. It's an interesting take on the world with John Fricky.
Morning Show with John and Hugh on this Wednesday, May 27th. Again, just reminding myself the day and the date. And I was talking earlier, Hugh Douglas, about things I was over. And as I watched the Korean baseball game today, the SK Wyverns and the Doosan Bears.
That's my team. The bird, the giant flying, the flying thing. Yeah, the Wyverns.
What is a wyvern again?
It's a giant mythical creature. It's like a dragon.
Like a dragon. Okay, gotcha.
I thought it was, when I heard wyvern, I'm thinking, I thought it was like a yeti. But no, it's a dragon.
It's a dragon?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, like a Game of Thrones dragon kind of thing?
Nah, not a Game of Thrones kind of dragon. But in the same ballpark.
Yeah. No, I just I was just realizing though, because I said earlier that there are things that I'll tell you a little bit of insight into me. I am a very patient person, and I am. I'm a very patient person until I'm not. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll be very patient. This is true of me when I make big decisions too in life. Mm-hmm. I'll consider a major decision, and I'll come, you know, and it'll take me a long time to work through the major decision, and then all of a sudden I'll come to a decision that I've made in the major decision, and then I announce it. But see, I don't announce it beforehand when I'm thinking through it, and so it comes as a shock to everybody when I said I'm leaving television, mm-hmm. you know, to my ex-wife and to my family. Like, what do you mean you're leaving television?
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, stuff like that. You okay?
I have been thinking about it for a long time and saying, look, I just want to go back to radio. I probably thought about it for 2 or 3 years and say, I really want to just go back to radio. That's what I was kind of mulling through. It's what I really love. And so I made this big decision at 43. I announced, here I am, and, it was the height of my television career, I guess, in a way, main anchor at Fox Sports Net. And I said, I'm walking away. And then, what do you mean you're walking away from television? I said, I'm done with it. Where did this come from? Well, the same thing is true of patience. I'm extremely patient until I run out of patience. And when I run out of patience, I don't do a slow drop out of patience. I hit a wall and drop off a cliff. I'm just done.
Okay.
And so yesterday was kind of that cliff. And I went, okay, I think I'm done with this. I'm over hot dogs. I'm over, like you said, bread. By the way, I agree with you. I am over bread.
Whew. Yeah, bread, for me, man, especially, I guess it's just, the way I digest food now, But if I eat, if I eat two sandwiches, like the level of bloat that I feel for 2 days after eating that is like, it's really bad. It's just a bad feeling. I just feel bad. So I told myself I just need to probably just lead out. That's probably something that I need to figure out how to take out of my diet, because it's not a good feeling. It's not a good feeling at all to feel like that. You know, just feel sluggish, especially in a, you know, with everything being like it is, we're not really getting out as much. Well, some of us aren't getting out as much as we need to or accustomed to, and just eating that bread and just weighs you down a little bit. So I need to figure out a healthier alternative to eating that on sandwiches or something.
Yeah, it's like, you know, everybody's carbo loading, you know, bread.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Gluten and pasta and everything else. And
all
it's
of
like,
that.
Okay, yeah, I'm kind of over that. I mean, I'm obviously over stripping wallpaper, but that's just because it's a pain in the butt. But I'm, and God love them. And do God love the Wyverns and the Bears. Heck, I know every team in this league, the Lions and the Tigers and everybody else that's out there, LG and Samsung and you name it. God love the KBO, but I'm over the KBO. I'm just over the
KBO. Yeah, because it's not what you're used to. We want normal. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, you know, it has nothing to do with the fact that it does because it's something we're not accustomed to. We want to see our guys. You know, we want to see Thor, you know, living in his $27,000 a month apartment in New York, you know, with the long hair, you know, getting beat by, you know, by the Braves. We want to see that.
Yeah.
We want to see that. We want to get back to our normal. We want to go to the ballpark and hang out at the Battery and complain about how warm it was or how hot it is, you know, this early in the city. Mm-hmm. You know, things of that nature. Stuff that we do every year. That's what it is. And we're not doing that right now. And it's unknown. And, you know, the employment rate is at an all-time high. And everything is uncertain for everybody. We just want normal back. We want to try to get as close to normal as we possibly can right now.
Yeah, I'm over the Bundesliga. I'm over esports. I'm over, you know, documentaries. I'm over, you know, I'm a patient man, but I am no patient man when it comes to players and owners arguing. That I have no patience for that.
It's a bad look, John. It is, but. Like I said, I'm a man of the people, but it's just weird when you start hearing, like, the absurd dollar amounts, you know, and I get it. I mean, listen, I get it. I get both sides of it. My dad worked his butt off. He worked two jobs, and I get the pain of the common man, but at the same time, you got to kind of look at it like, damn, you're asking a lot of players, like, that pay cut that they're taking, that's a nice haircut. That is a nice pay cut. And there's going to be some guys that, you know, they're not going to be as eloquent when they talk about taking the pay cut as you would want them to be in the position that a lot of us are in.
Oh, yeah, speaking of haircuts, this happened to me yesterday. So I shout out to Lakeside Barbershop here. So I'm driving around, and yesterday I'm over this cabin fever. So I got out of the house. I did something I haven't done really in the last 2 months, which is spend a couple of hours, actually probably almost 3 hours, just driving around. I think I literally have put 500 miles on my car in 3 months, which is just like insane, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because normally I do like 2,000 miles a month. And I got gas. I filled up with gas yesterday, and I was thinking, you know, when was the last time? I can't even tell you how long it's been since I filled up with gas.
Yeah, gas is lovely right about now, though, John. Freaky, why are you playing?
No, well, it's because nobody's driving. And so,
basically.
So I'm driving around, and I'm doing a bunch of errands. I you know, little things, just, you know, getting gas. I went and got an oil change. I mean, I you know, just little things, okay? And so I had heard from some of the guys around here that they also use the same barber, that you had to make an appointment. And so I drove by the barbershop, and I thought, well, okay, I'm right here. I'll just jump out. I'll walk in, put my mask on, and I'll make an appointment to come in because I know I got to do this because I'm over this hair. And I walk in, and I say to one of the ladies there, I said, hey, listen, I need to make an appointment. And she looks at me. She says, I just had a cancellation. You want to do it right now? I went, yes. And so I got a haircut.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. That was like, I can't tell you the relief for, because that was 11 weeks for my haircut. I mean, I don't think I've ever gone that long. Well, as an adult, I don't think I've ever gone that long. Matter of fact, I know I haven't, you know, but 11 weeks without a haircut, man.
Yeah, good thing for me, I was able to do it myself. It was just funny, though, because not having cut my hair in a while, you know, and I had some new clippers, it was like, you know, they were really, really sharp, and I wasn't accustomed to cutting my hair like that, so it was a little weird. But, you know, being bald, like, being as bald as long as I've been, it just felt funny being bald again. because I had hair, even though it didn't grow at the top that great. It just felt funny for a while being bald. So when I look in the mirror now, it's just an odd feeling. You know, even though I've been bald for a long time, it was just an odd feeling to see myself being bald again.
Well, what do you prefer? Do you prefer the hair or the bald?
Like I've been so used to wearing it bald, I like the bald. It's easier to manage. You know, mm-hmm. It's easier to manage bald. You know, it's easier to just get up and go. You know, the only thing
on those rare occasions when you shave your beard, is that weirder or about the same?
Yeah, when you shave the beard, it's weirder because you're so used to having hair on your face. When you cut it off, you just look crazy. Like my son was telling me all the time, dude, let your facial hair grow back. Like it's like in a weird spot where you don't want it to get too long. When it's just right, nobody complains. But when it's too long, it's like you look like Grizzly Adams or somebody.
Well, like I say, I've been telling you, you let that thing grow, and the next thing you know, I'm going to hear about you going down to Louisiana to shoot ducks.
Yeah, it's going to be this one's called the pandemic beard, though. This is the pandemic beard.
Well, because there was a time, I don't know, a year or two ago, I don't remember exactly when, but you had shaved your beard off, and it was one of the first times I saw you with glasses, so you came in with glasses and no beard, and we're like, excuse me, sir, you're the wrong place.
Yeah, basically.
Can we help you?
Basically, yeah. Looking like, what are you doing here? You're wrong. How'd you get in the building? Yeah, basically.
How'd you get in the building?
Yeah.
Right.
Who is this guy? Yeah, basically. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it occurred to me yesterday, though, that, when I'm over all these things, that if I start doing some what I consider to be kind of like normal routine things, like getting a haircut, buying gas, getting an oil change, washing my car, doing little things like that, that's like normal life things to me, I've been, mm-hmm. I just put it on the side for a long time, I just hadn't bothered to, I was a little skeptical about getting a haircut for a long time, and I was still a little skeptical, but when she said, I got an opening, you want to do it right now, you just kind of, okay, fine.
Yeah, you're here, and you didn't want to make it weird, you didn't want to make it any weirder than it already is by saying, no, you just asked for one, so yeah, you was kind of in a position where it was a now or never type scenario, and you had to go through with it.
Well, yeah, and it was just easier. I mean, rather than having to come back, because I knew I was going to have to do it anyway. So let's get this over with, make it quick. I was half tempted to say, pull out the, give me the army cut, and then I'm good to go.
Give you the zero guard, the no guard. Yeah.
Yep.
Basically.
Yep.
That would look kind of funny. I would probably have to admit, you look, I couldn't imagine you bald headed like that. That would be kind of weird.
Yeah, it would be kind of weird. That's why I said, okay, maybe not. Maybe we just get a regular cut here, just to get a. But boy, that hair was coming off like I was being sheared like a lamb.
Yeah, that's how it usually happens when you haven't had one in a while. Yeah, that definitely is the case. Yeah.
Man, I was looking at the floor going, good googly boogly to steal your term. I was like, okay, all right, fine, I got it, because I always get a kick out of the guys that go in, I don't know about you, Hugh, who come into the barber shop who have almost no hair, and they don't want to get their head shaved, they just want to trim up, and you're like, trim up what?
I mean, but see, it's funny because in the community, in my community, when you go to the barber shop, I mean, yeah, the haircut is essential, but it's you really going for the conversation. You know what I mean? And that's what it is. Like, and you see guys that sit in the chair that don't need a haircut, that get one every week without fail because they go for the conversation. The conversation is just like at the barbershop. That's like the town hall meeting, especially when sports around, basketball. You always hear conversation. Kind of like the scene in Coming to America when you heard guys just sitting around, talking about boxing and all the other good stuff. That's kind of how it is. People just sit around and they just commute. They just, talk about everything that's going on. Everything.
Yeah, you don't go to my barber for the conversation.
In the neighborhood, you go to the barbershop, man. You got cats that sit there, like, religiously, the barber. And some cats just come in for the conversation. Hey, man, you hear about this, that, and the third? Yeah, that's how I rolled in the hood.
Morning Mashup is next. Oren finds some fun audio, and he's going to have a lot of it, and we love to react to it. You get a chance to jump into the fray, too, as always, on our Twitter, on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929, at 929 on Twitter, at BigHugh53, at John Fricke. And we'll do the Morning Mashup as we continue around the corner on this Wednesday on Sports Radio 92 on the game,